This is The Think Tank, talking about the major political, economic, and social issues of the week. With Dr. Mike O'Neill and hosted by Mike Russell. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com. The Think Tank.
Hey, this is going to be a good show. I like this. This is right in my wheelhouse, buddy. We're talking education. Kids' education, too.
We made it, Michael.
Oh, no.
We're number 50 now.
We're number 50.
We were close, but we made it. Arizona now spends, according to a U.S. Census report, the fewest dollars per student in the United States on classroom instruction, teacher pay, and school administration.
Sweet.
So, something to write home about. You know, John Talton wrote that he used to write all these articles and said they always had the theme, well, thank God for Mississippi.
Oh, keeping here us, we go, yes, well, keeping us at 49 and 48, respectively.
Well, one day he gets a call, and it's the governor of Mississippi, and he thought it was a crank call.
Yes.
But he was really the governor of Mississippi. And the guy starts to bend his ear about all the ways that Mississippi is doing better than Arizona.
Nice. Well, there you go. All right.
Anyway, I'm sure it was gratifying to get some attention.
Well, yeah, but you look at the governor of Mississippi and say, the only reason people can spell your state is because of Jiminy Cricket, for the love of Pete. Okay? Well, M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I. That's the only way I remember that nonsense.
Well, I tell you one thing about this, and I see that we're getting some response pretty, but there was two articles in the Business Journal juxtapose against one another, and one was this article about we're now number 50 in education spending, K-12.
Sure. Right.
The other one is a sort of a business developed thing. We landed this big business, and you read through the article, and it's another call center. You know,
okay.
You look at that and you say, you know, minimum wage jobs. Say if education isn't up to snuff, this is what you get.
Okay.
So
now what? Okay. So let's just dig into that. Let's dive right into education spending if we can. So we have, and if you can show me, you are the numbers guy. You understand these graphs and whatnot. I'm not a big fan of them. I've seen my share of them. And what I have seen when it comes to education spending is that you can't draw a line between more spending and higher test scores and achievement.
Absolutely, you're right.
So
it's a whole lot of things.
So if we are number 50, why is that a bad thing?
I think here's the answer. Is money the be all and the end? Could just throw money at it? Does that solve problems? Absolutely not.
But it has been the way because we get elected that way in saying, hey, I'm more money for education, more money for education, more money for education. We watched a gubernatorial candidate here in Arizona lose, saying, I am all about the kids. That guy's going to take money from the kids, and he still lost.
Yep.
Because we know, we're wise to it now, that more money does not equal better education.
But I guess, I think the flip side is equally true. If you completely starve the finances, it's going to be pretty hard to improve.
Well, who's eating at that table? When you talk about starving one piece, and that's, let's be honest, that's the classroom. That's the teachers and the classroom. Those are the ones that should be getting the lion's share of the dinner here. Yep. And there are a lot of other mouths to feed at this table.
Absolutely.
That's frustrating.
And some of those end up under the category of, quote, administration, but they turned out to be pretty necessary. When the governor tried to cut everything other than classroom stuff, what he found out is, wait a minute, we're cutting school buses from rural districts that need to have school buses and
sure.
things like
that. Yeah,
you know,
well, right.
There's a lot of stuff like that. The image that, you know, it's going into some master, you know, rat hole of stuff that's not related to education. Well, I'd like to know where that rat hole is, and I'd like to eradicate.
I'd like to show you. I drop off my kids. Now, obviously, we're in the summer. I drop off my kids in the morning. I flip around to the backside of the school, and all I see are a lot of vehicles wrapped. And I mean, with very expensive wraps on them saying, you know, with all these cartoons, I'm with the food part of the district, and I'm this mm-hmm. and that. And there is so much waste in our school education system that I get to see just right out in front of you. I haven't even dug into line items, and I just see it smacking me in the face when I go to Avondale Unified School District and I see the new elementary school building. I want to fall over. I want to just run my car into that building. It makes no sense to me that my kids have to rely on parents to bring school supplies to a classroom, and they've got a new Taj Mahal for their offices.
I think this, when you compare our schools to those in other countries, one of the things that people do come back and say is that the physical structures that we have are comparatively palatial.
Absolutely.
That some of the highest performing countries, you look at the physical school buildings, and they're very, very ordinary.
Sure.
So,
and ordinary is fine. We're not talking about put the kids in shacks. Yep. We're not talking about that. What you have is nice. Mm-hmm. Every administrator should be in a portable on an existing school campus. When I run the state, that's what's going to happen day one. And we're going to turn those district buildings into office buildings.
Yeah. You know, it's this could be, of course, applied to almost any organization. You look at an organization and you cut it and you cut it and you cut it. And somebody's still going to be able to say, well, look, there's some part of it that I don't like, and that's wasteful, and why don't you cut that? And you look at it, and that stuff never seems to get cut.
Okay, but a normal organization, I'm assuming you're meaning a normal business that
well,
we
a business, large any business. Okay. Any organization.
Okay, let's talk about
a business. I don't care if it's a government, military, private business, you know.
Pick a business name. Mm-hmm. If we ran a business in this country like we run our school system, it would run into the ground. It would run into the ground. And by the way, the school district, they get their finances from forced taxes, essentially.
It's, well, they're that's not the even only kind of price. Taxes there are.
They don't, unless you ask Harry Reid. Harry Reid says it's voluntary.
But I haven't met, I mean, there is that checkbox on all the forms of voluntary contribution, and it yields basically nothing.
It's a waste of ink.
It's a waste of ink. Fair point.
It is. But when you run organizations like we see our schools being run, yes, it's run inefficiently. I'm sorry. My heart goes to teachers. I love teachers. Teachers need to make more money. I get it.
Well,
yes, they do.
And you have the situation. You got school teachers in Arizona making just a little over 30 grand a year to start, which is 15 bucks an hour if it were prorated for the full year. I mean, that's a little higher than,
but,
I mean, there's fast food workers that are agitating to be paid at that level.
But exactly, which is asinine in itself. But understand this. If they got into education to get rich, they missed something somewhere.
True.
They went down this path through the school, through their own schooling, taking out the student loans, knowing exactly what they would be getting into.
Here's the problem I see with that argument, Mike. It seems to be implicitly saying, until we eradicate every last piece of waste, we're not going to give them another nickel. Well,
no.
In which case, your teachers we have schools of education that we're paying for to educate teachers, and they're getting their degree, and they're leaving the state.
Fine.
For finer pastures.
That makes sense. But I'm all about paying the teachers more. I'm about getting rid of wraps on cars. I'm about no more new administrative buildings. I'm all about that. I am a get rid of that, and you're all good. Let's actually move up the chain a little bit. Let's move up to ASU. We're going to hit that next.
The Think Tank. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Okay, Mike O'Neill here with Mike Russell. Mike promised we're going to get into discussion of issues at ASU, the Clinton Foundation funding, Koch Brothers funding.
Yeah.
We're getting there. But there's one more thing just to wrap the K-12 business that has happened this week. And that is, it looks to me like the governor is feeling some heat on things like we're number 50.
Okay.
And there is a proposal in the works to find another source of funding. And
I know what other source of funding means. I don't like that.
Actually,
it's going to mean taxes.
Actually,
again.
Yes and no.
It means
borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, because he's adamant. No new taxes.
Okay.
I mean, that does seem to be a consistent mantra. There is this pile of money that is in the state land trust. State land trust is set up, was all basically land that was ceded by the federal government to the state. And the governor is in the process of putting together a proposal to give up some of the revenues of that towards K-12 education.
Okay.
Now, what is not clear to me at this point is where that money's going somewhere else right now, and somebody else is going to be screaming about
it. I understand
this.
That, but let's look at the end game of that. Even if it passes and it's the greatest proposal in the world, I hear K-12 funding.
Yeah.
Where in K-12 funding? Where?
Well,
once again, new administrative buildings?
No,
where is it going to go?
Well, the answer to that is that we elect school boards, and they make decisions about where that money goes. So Mike Mike Russell, maybe you ought to run for school board.
Good night. I don't want to run for anything. You know, I'm not a politician.
We think that
except for state mining.
There's this belief that best government is the closest to the people. It's probably hard to get closer to the people than your local school board.
I agree.
They make those calls, and
they're doing it wrong. I'll just say that if we're number 50, you're doing it wrong. Somebody has to be number 50. I get it, but leave that to a lame state somewhere else. Us, we're better than this. Our school boards are failing. If that's the case, they allot the money. They have failed.
Well, they allocate some. There's some things they can't share. I mean, for example, there's funding piles for example, they can do bonding for new construction. That may be where some of the palatial buildings come from. That's not the same pile of money. They can't take that money and have a bond for teacher salaries, for example.
Unbelievable.
You're not allowed to do that.
Unbelievable.
So, fair game. Every organization that has ever been built by human beings has things in it that some of us would call waste. We might not always agree about what the waste pile is, but.
I've spent enough time in sales in my life to understand when you get a government contract, that's the Holy Grail. So I trust me, I know that it seems to be piles of money around.
Okay, want to move on.
Let's do.
A whole lot of controversy. Two of them, big ones right now on ASU. To the point where President Michael Crow wrote an editorial in the newspaper. And let's deal with these two issues, two separate issues. And he defended both of them. And they're interesting that they're kind of juxtaposed. The first is, a couple of years ago, they had a big meeting at ASU sponsored by the Clinton Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a $500,000 fee paid by ASU to the Clinton Foundation.
Shocking.
And that has rankled feathers. They're saying, why are we funding Hillary? Well, Let's call it what it is.
And I know you're a fan, but I want to say this.
Okay.
Anyway, I apologize. I put words in your mouth and I shouldn't have, and I apologize. But the Clinton Foundation, you give $500,000 to the Clinton Foundation, you're on Hillary's crew.
Well, let me tell you what Michael Crow, president of ASU, said about that. He said,
"Now, did he sign it? By the way, did he sign off on it?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so he okay. So that's
oh, he
what
owns
I make
this.
Sure. That's
he
why
owns,
I want to make
he
sure.
He owns this.
Okay.
He said." Basically, it wasn't a donation. It was a marketing cost. And I quote from his editorial, quote, it was money well spent. Okay. His argument, and by the way, we did invite him to attend today. We couldn't get him. But he said there was 1,000 students from all over the world that came here, 200 ASU students. We're doing these big online programs. We're making a lot of money with that. And basically, this was a marketing expenditure.
I will ask. I'll follow up, Mr. Crow, and I want to ask you how many other $500,000 marketing expenditures you have and really where that goes to branding ASU nationwide to attract students to your school. A $500,000 Clinton Initiative donation, which it's what it is not bringing kids to your school. It is getting it's basically hedging your bet if 2016 goes the way of Clinton is what it is. Let's call it what it is. I'm not trying to be partisan. It upsets me that ASU did this. I don't care if they did it for the Rubio Foundation or whatever it is. I don't care what side of the aisle that's on. That's shady, and that's all there is to it. Period. It's shady. It's like saying, because if you call it a marketing expenditure, it's the same companies that are spending the same amount of money to have Hillary have a 20-minute speech at their banquet. It's not a fee. Nobody pays a former Secretary of State and Senator $500,000. They don't. This is a campaign contribution, and it's ugly. I don't like it.
Well, of course, I'm not the chief defense. This raises eyebrows,
okay.
To be sure.
And for you,
I mean, just as a practical matter, this goes to the Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation is doing a lot of stuff. It is pretty sad. They even asked her a question about her presidential ambitions when she was on the dais at ASU, and she refused to answer it. She said, no, this is Clinton Foundation. And I think if you look at what they're doing, AIDS in Africa, a whole lot of they're doing a lot of good stuff.
So do the Bushes. Well, they're not taking anything for Jeb. But the Bushes do a ton in Africa for AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
It's shady. We know it. I mean, come on. It walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. Let's be real about this, guys.
Well,
come on.
That's why Michael Crow felt the need to
defend himself CYA.
On this.
That's
and
what
there
it
was a graduate student who also had another editorial in the in the Republic and mm-hmm. says, well, look at, first of all, she says, and let me, Amy, I difficult to pronounce.
We'll just call her Amy.
Amy says, this represented, let's see this in perspective, she says, this represented 0.025%, in other words, 0.00025% of ASU spending. Basically supports the president.
Ridiculous. Amy, that's ridiculous. Well, Amy, I will call her out. That is absolutely ridiculous. That's the same lame argument as, oh, we're not going to cut this piece of government because, you know, it's only $50 million a year and we've got we have trillions of dollars in debt. Who cares about that? That's a small piece of the pie. No, 0.025% of ASU spend went to a political campaign, and that is not okay. Period.
Well,
period.
I think the argument, yeah, about what percent. If it's a big organization, anything is a small piece.
Thank you.
And in the scheme of things, you're dealing with an organization that has a $1 billion budget, so $500,000 is kind of rounding error. But if it's wrong, it's wrong.
Thank you. I'm gonna agree.
She made other points, and I didn't mean.
Okay,
to,
well, to that point, Amy. I went along with reducing it to that, so I'll apologize. But Amy, understand this: that point of your editorial is blatantly stupid. I'm sorry. It's awful.
Okay, we're going to move on. The other, well, we're approaching a hard break here, but I want to tell you, we're going to go. The other thing that
we'll
has
come back to
engendered controversy here is the acceptance of a contribution from the Koch brothers to endow a professorship.
Okay, so let's talk about that. We're sticking with ASU when we come back to the think tank. Doc O'Neill, Mike Russell, right here on KTAR News. Thanks for spending some time with us.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
All right. We covered Clinton and ASU and Michael Crow. Now, we got to stay fair here. That's why Doc O'Neill and I get together, because we try to keep things as balanced as we can around here. Let's go to the other side of the ball. Now we have the Koch brothers, which is, in political terms, by the way, there's the Koch brothers, there's George Soros on both sides, and those are the money bags. Those are basically the DNC and the RNC banks.
Yeah.
Am I
pretty close? Okay. Pretty close.
Okay, so now we have the Koch brothers. They're getting a little riled up with ASU, too. What's going on?
Well, in this case, it was a donation to the university of several million dollars, and here's the reason that's controversial. It was to fund a faculty position in, and I quote, economic freedom.
Okay.
As opposed to,
I love that, because you know it's not about economic freedom, but it's a pretty name.
I think it does. Act. It does have a kind of a political ring to it. It's not, as opposed to a professorship in economics, which would be a more neutral term.
Okay.
And let me tell you how this
You don't spend that kind of money for neutral. Let's be honest. You don't spend money for neutral.
Well, in universities, you're supposed to. And here's the academic norm is that donors are not supposed to have a say over faculty hiring. Okay, you're not supposed to be able to shape that with money.
It's like donating to your church and showing up to the pastor and saying, I spent money here, you need to do this, that, and the other thing. You don't do that.
Well, in university, very strong academic freedom norms that you hire faculty based on scholarship, and you don't allow outsiders to constrain how you do that. And so the inference that raised hackles, mostly within the university, I can tell you that this is a firestorm kind of issue within academic faculty, that you're not supposed to be able to donate money in order to get faculty with a certain perspective. Okay, I mean, the analogy that people would say is, what if Raul Castro donated money to ASU to endow a professorship in, quote, socialist economics? It kind of has that kind of a ring to it.
Interesting.
Okay.
But who would be against it? I don't. What was it? Economic freedom? Was it
Economic
freedom. Okay. So I don't know who's against that. I don't know if the Democrats against economic freedom. I hope they're not against economic freedom.
It has a tinge to it that says this is going to be of a kind of a far right tilt. And this, by the way,
why? I just want to ask you why, for clarification. Mm-hmm. I want to know why. I know what you're saying, but I want to know why.
The analogy on the other side would be, quote, a professorship in socialist economics.
Economic freedom. Our country is founded on our country's
why not economics?
Our country is not founded on socialism. Okay. It is founded on freedom. So
well, here's the difference. Academics are supposed to be neutral, and the study of economics is legitimate. But if you have a professorship in economic freedom, it sounds like it's taking sides on an argument that should not be preordained. And the fellow who was hired on this, the first thing he came out with was this study we saw a few weeks ago that basically said, Arizona could eliminate the income tax. You know?
Okay.
And
there's other states without income tax.
Which is fine.
Okay.
The point was that you have this professorship, and it looks like basically it was preordained, got this money. We want to hire an economist whose politics are on the right side, political right, okay? And he will produce stuff kind of like the Goldwater Institute that is really more partisan research than it is objective scholarship.
Okay.
That is the intro. Now, of course, Michael Crow defended this as well. He's got kind of got hit from the other side on this one. And I'm saying both of these instances, there is a point there.
Okay. You know? Okay. And I want to separate the two because they are apples and oranges. I understand there's one Democrat, one Republican leaning. I understand that.
But they are different issues.
The Clintons ASU gave $500,000 to the Clinton Foundation. The Koch brothers gave money to
ASU. The direction of the money is one thing.
It's very important.
One you're given, one you're getting.
Okay.
But Michael Crow's position, first of all, in the case of the Clinton, that was not given. That was we purchased a marketing advantage. You know, and I think if you look in their budget, they are spending. I don't think you'll find that number to be out of line with other marketing expenses. This is a billion-dollar university. They spend money. They advertise in lots of ways.
But you said it gives them a marketing advantage.
And that's what Michael Crow said.
I'm going to stay away from the marketing advantage. Let's go to this. How is this difference with the Koch brothers? How is this different than, and I forget the name, I'm sorry, those ungodly buildings that are being built to obstruct our view of ASU Stadium, which was totally awesome, but now it's gone. And now they have big corporate brands on these things as donations to the university.
Yeah.
How is that much different?
You're losing me there.
Had the Board of Regents, we had the president of the Board of Regents here in this studio, and he said the money that is coming in to Arizona State University from these buildings that are highly branded with a corporate logo on them.
You're talking about the stuff on Town Lake there?
Yes.
The building?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. ASU owns the land. They're in the real estate business, basically.
Okay.
But they own some prime land.
But you see what I'm saying.
I'm not connecting the dots.
It's the same thing. It's a major organization. The Koch Brothers organization, they are businessmen, right?
Yep.
Allstate or whoever the heck it is that's branding these buildings, they're a business there to make money. The university is giving them a giant piece of advertising.
Yeah.
And in return.
Oh, you get, when you donate money to a university, you get your name on stuff.
Why can't the Koch brothers donate money and say, this is our brand of economics?
Donating money, having the Koch study for economics wouldn't raise an eyebrow, okay?
So this is basically what it is.
It's constraining it to, quote, economic freedom, which kind of connotes that you will produce scholarship of a particular perspective. I'm telling you that as an ex-academic, that is considered a no-no.
Okay.
That you're not supposed to control the outcome. You give money, you get your name on the building. Absolutely. Any university, anywhere, you're going to find buildings. Almost all the buildings have names on
them. Absolutely.
Most of those names got there from donations.
Absolutely.
Some of them Senator Day O'Connor College of Law was a prestige issue.
Sure, absolutely.
But most of those buildings within the law school or everywhere else on campus.
But like engineering is like Fulton.
And education as well. A big, big donor to
ASU. Do you think those kids leaving there would buy a Fulton home? It stacks their mind in a certain way, but I'm going to say this.
But here's the difference. Fulton didn't say I want you to produce only stuff that shows that my houses are better than yours.
Okay.
You
know, neither even if the Cokes did on one professor. By the way, I went to ASU. My kids will go to ASU. Yeah. I'm an ASU fan. I am. So when I got after Michael Crow, that's because I feel part of the family. I can say these things. But with the Koch brothers and their donation for one professor, and you do know this, I would find it hard for anyone in this country to say that the deck is not already stacked left-leaning when it comes to academic instruction in our universities. Let's call it what it is.
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay.
I don't know. But I'll say this. The norm that I'm talking about, and the reason Michael Crow took flack over this, is the notion that outside money shouldn't be able to buy scholarship of a particular stripe.
Then why do you take the money?
Universities don't turn down money very often.
That's what I'm saying. You have no standing if you take the money and then say, well, we shouldn't be able to do that. But
basically, Crow's position was kind of yours. He said, well, you know, there's a lot of left-leaning account, so this is okay. And
that's from the president, by the way.
Well, he's defending his, you know. And by the way, that's my bottom line on both of these. I find some reason to raise your eyebrow on both of these issues, but my bottom line is you hire a guy as president who, by most measures, is doing overall a heck of a job. Bottom line is you cut him some slack.
And I would say this, though. I would say the Clinton thing, we both see shady in that. With the Koch brother thing, it's
shady,
like,
I'm not agreeing with you on
You're not agreeing.
See, you're equating the Clinton Foundation with her campaign.
You cannot draw lines between the two. You can't not do that.
You look at how they're spending their money that's audited. They can't put a nickel on that on campaign purposes.
I've seen the Clintons get out of worse. Let's talk about the dirty little secrets of university funding next.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
That button right there, Doc.
The on button. Yes, so that's where you start with. Okay. Well, as promised, one of the things that just strikes me in a lot of these discussions about university funding is that there's a real disconnect between the level that the rhetoric occurs on and kind of the reality of what a university is there for. Most of the rhetoric implies, and this is not true, that the purpose of our universities is to provide undergraduate education as cheaply as possible. There is nothing structured in any major university that has that as its primary goal. So, for example, the inference that if this $500K went to the Clintons, you hadn't gone to them, that tuition would be lower. There's no connection. It would have been spent on something else.
Sure.
But here's the reason. But everybody pretends.
By the way, I didn't make that.
And I'm saying it's a false. Okay. But, right. it has been out there as an argument. You know,
that's a silly argument.
And it's not. But one of the things that this is, by the way, even that we had here the chairman of the Board of Regents, and I asked him this question privately afterwards. Says, do you know what university teaching loads are? He had no idea. And most people are astounded when they find out what they are.
Okay.
Full-time faculty. Teaching a course is 3 hours a week in the classroom. Do you know what the average teaching load is at the university?
What?
Want to make a guess?
15 hours.
It's 6.
Nice.
15 hours is what the teaching load is in the community colleges.
Interesting. Okay?
At the university level, it's 6 and often negotiated downward from there. Okay? And now here. And I know where you're going to go this.
I want everyone to understand what you're saying because I don't want to just brush over it. So you're saying that on a 3 hour a week class, they're working another 3 hours essentially. So the professor has a 6 hour work week.
Well, teaching. Okay. I mean, there's prep time. There's other responsibilities. But the faculty, and if you want to teach more, basically, that's what community colleges are there for. Now, wow. Now here, and I know what you're thinking. I said, well, God, if we could only make them teach another course, teach nine instead of six.
No, I'd cut their pay in half immediately.
Right. But here's what would happen. You know what would happen if you increase the teaching load to 9 hours?
What?
Almost overnight, like within the academic year, you would lose 100% of your all-star faculty. Absolutely guaranteed.
That's disgusting.
Because they will go somewhere else.
Good. And I would line them up in the town square and say, these people bounce because we ask them to actually earn their money.
They would go.
Public shaming.
It wouldn't work. It'd work. They'd go somewhere else.
Ugh.
And they'd go there in a heartbeat, and everybody knows it. You know
who, they're not my all-stars. My all-stars are the community colleges.
You know who you would keep? You would keep your faculty that could not get a job somewhere else. In other words,
come on.
Absolutely.
I don't think so.
Absolutely.
I don't think so.
No doubt. Well,
I'll tell you, Mike, I taught
at four universities. That is absolutely what would happen. The first question you look at a school for is, what's the teaching load?
Okay, fine. Okay. Then why aren't we taking all-star teachers from the community colleges then and putting them up there? There's a line of them would love to be at ASU.
Because they don't want them. Because they want people with a record of scholarship and publication.
Unbelievable. It's
disgusting. And by the way, here's another thing. You talk about research as an agenda, okay? The way that works, by the way, one of the goals of research faculty, because the heels are on them to produce research.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happens when somebody gets a grant? Let's say an associate professor is making $100,000 a year, okay?
Ugh.
And so in effect, you could look at that as they're getting paid $25,000 for a course.
Okay.
They get a research grant and they want to buy out of teaching that one course. Okay.
You can do that?
Well, most of them do that.
This is
sad. They can.
This is sad.
So, but no, here's how the university makes money, and here's how the reason they want to do it. So to buy out of that one course, they will get a federal grant, and they will get to buy out of that one course will cost $25,000 plus another $12,000 in overhead. So about 50% overhead. So they pay back to the university $37,500. They get reduced teaching. They get their load cut from 2 to 1.
So the university can bring a new teacher in and
they got 37,000. They hire an adjunct for about 10% of that money. Okay. So the university just pocketed about $30,000 on that.
Sick.
That's why you want research faculty.
What do you mean that's why I want research
faculty?
I'm telling
you, that's
not why I want it. That's why Crow and ASU wants it.
The difference between Mesa Community College and Harvard is research.
Oh, come on.
Okay. No. Come on. That is absolutely.
Okay. Let me back up. Because I have the two things. Things we talked about, and we're lecturing. I want to have a discussion here. The rhetoric that you talked about, the rhetoric and the financing.
Well, the rhetoric is we're there to teach undergraduates. That's not the reality.
Okay. But that's why it equals perception, which equals reality. Mm-hmm. Okay, for everybody. Yeah. By the way, the people that are funding a lot of this stuff, especially me, that I'm going to be writing big checks to ASU for two students to be going there now.
But the myth of that, by the way, is that your tuition is really
doesn't matter
for,
to me.
You know,
it's huge.
It's
to me. It's huge. To me, it's a lot of money.
The cost of undergraduate education is only a small part of the cost of the university.
So we see it. So the perception that is reality is that any organization, like we discussed earlier in the show, is a business.
Yeah.
And it's not being run like a business. It's being run ineffectively. They lost funding. They lost their free money. So they went and pass that right on to every single student.
Mm-hmm.
They're not running it like a real business. They're running it like a government agency, and it's sad. It angers a lot of people.
I don't follow that. The argument is that it's run a lot more like a business. They grabbed another source of revenue that they had, which is the tuition we had prior to.
They were getting free money. Free money. Not money they were earning. Free money.
Appropriate.
Free money went somewhere else. So instead of making changes, instead of making cuts,
they could, a small business
out in the West Valley that got some state funding to move here. Okay, maybe got a little kickback from the state to move here. If they're running their business as if that money is always going to be there, they're a bad business. That money goes away, what do they do?
They could change their focus to teaching overnight, and it would become Arizona Community College. And you could produce low-cost, and we have institutions that do that right now. Those are the community colleges. They produce instruction at a very low unit cost per hour of instruction because they hire faculty to teach. They make them teach 15 hours.
Good. Which they should.
But that is not where... That is not where you produce research that produces all the other side benefits of having a university.
Professors.
There.
So let's get to the professors here. The professors aren't in there at all to educate people. They're not. So that's if the professors incidental. Are earning...
Well, that's an incidental benefit.
If the professors are worth their salt, they're worth their money. If the professors are worth their money, show me the graduation rate. Show me the jobs out of. Show me the percentage of those graduates getting good paying jobs. Mm-hmm. Show me that. Show me ASU is worth it, not ASU is some piggy bank that we just have the kids there for filler.
Well, ASU overall has moved itself into kind of a mid-rank institution.
Okay, I won't argue that.
And that is the main, if you look, there is a pretty well-known prestige hierarchy of universities. And at the top universities, you have faculty who are there because they're producing cutting-edge research. And the very best students benefit just simply from being around folks like that.
Okay. There's a benefit. I'm not going to say that there's zero benefit.
You go into a classroom and the person teaching the class literally wrote the book that everybody, and I'm not talking textbooks, which aren't valid. I'm talking about current cutting-edge research.
I do know
the
this.
The very best students will benefit from that.
Right, but then why the heck would I send my kids to Arizona State University? Why would I send them to anything but a community college? I want them to be educated. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to be wasting a professor's time, right? I don't want them to be in a room where the professor, this is what I have to do for 6 hours a dang week. I want to go do something else. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. That's not what I want for my children.
Well, these institutions are set up for different purposes. They do different things. You are at a university, the primary focus is research. The incidental purpose is teaching, though everybody pretends it isn't so. But every single person, I guarantee you, on the inside knows that that's not true.
That's sad. Well, that actually depresses me because we always, and once again, going to perception being reality, we saw the junior colleges and community colleges as minor leagues, essentially, it's a step to the big university where you're going to actually learn a ton. Yeah. No, it's backwards, essentially.
And it is to a very great extent. They're getting a lot of students who are marginal, who are not quite equipped to handle college, where basically you go into college and you're on your
80%.
Own. You're on your own. I mean, you got to, nobody's going to coddle you. The community colleges can be 13th and 14th grade. They can be, hand-holding for people who need it.
Which they are. Thanks, Doc. This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate it. On behalf of Doc O'Neill, myself, Mike Russell, and all of the KTR News staff, have a great weekend.